In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Hello and welcome to the Second Tier Preview Show brought to you by SBK. I'm Ryan Dilks and I'm joined by the Miranda Hart to my Joe Hart. It's Justin Peach.
Good day to you, Ryan.
The intro, of course, being in reference to Joe Hart announcing his retirement, a player I was stunned to discover has never played in the Championship. I thought he may have had a loan or something early in his career, or maybe a one-off appearance when he was back up at Burnley or something like that. I don't know, but 52 appearances in League 2, 11 in League 1, 340 in the Premier League, not in the Championship. A real sad state of affairs for me, Justin.
Yeah, we could have really used a personality like him, especially a goalkeeper. We don't get too many, do we? But then again, like, I mean, his career is not particularly a surprise to not see him drop into the Championship, considering that he was... It was at Shrewsbury, wasn't he? He went straight to Manchester City and then broke it to the first team there.
Yeah, but Justin, I was just picturing, like, I'm sure he must have had, like, a rogue loan spell at Ipswich or something like that, where he played just two games when he was really young. But I was surprised, really. He seems to have played in every single competition apart from the Championship.
So we can't really judge him of whether or not he could be considered a legend of the game. I mean, he's won so many honours. At club level. So I think he does fit that category in England, number one, for a long time as well. But he's never played in the Championship, which brings me back a little bit. I'm not going to jump into the legend status just yet.
I'm not sure even if he had played in the Championship, he'd be a legend of the game, to
savage.
Be honest.
Savage.
Question for you. How many England caps do you reckon he's got?
58.
75?
When did they happen?
That's exactly what I thought. It felt like he was England's first choice, but... he was only for about 5 years, so 75 caps seems to have come out of nowhere. Maybe he must have just added a few on when no one was looking. I mean, I'm not going to question his Wikipedia page. Anyway, welcome to the England Bronze Championship podcast, the Second Tier. Thank you for joining us wherever you are. Yes, this is the preview show brought to you by SBK, and we'll be making our predictions for the weekend, and I'm bloody excited to do it. So we'll be talking about our game of the weekend. No surprises for guessing what that's going to be. And we'll also make our banker predictions, our outsider predictions, and then we'll finish off with a little game of Scott High or Ryan Lowe right at the end of the show. So let's kick things off with our game of the weekend, which is an absolutely humongous clash. It's Leeds v Leicester. Leeds are 11-10 to win this one with SBK, while Leicester are 5-2. Oh boy, this is juicy. This is a proper thigh rubber. Of the highest order, isn't it, Justin? I've got goosebumps. There's part of me throbbing, which simply shouldn't be right now. Because this is basically as big as it gets right now, isn't it? Second v first.
Yeah, I mean, there's other things that get are as big as it gets, aren't they, if you're talking about it like that. You are right. You're absolutely spot on. It is one of those games that just gets you off your seat. And I, you know, I'm maybe not that as excited as you are. Don't get me wrong. I am excited. My mouth's watering. I'm dancing in my chair a little bit in trepidation, but there's no lust here, there's no enjoyment here. But it is a huge game, and it makes it more tasty because of how the Championship's setting itself up now, especially the title race. Obviously, Leicester having a little bit of a wobble. I say a little bit of a wobble. They lost the last game to Middlesbrough.
Yeah, they've lost one game,
but that is a weird thing for Leicester.
You're right. In the context of this, it is a wobble, pretty much, isn't it? I think it's interesting, Justin, that these two were the pre-season favourites to win the Championship with SBK. Leicester were 4-1, Leeds 6-1. I'm told that these two have essentially been the favourites to get promoted all season, just to add a little bit of extra spice to this already very spicy game. But look, Leeds have been flying recently, haven't they? Eight wins on the bounce, just one goal conceded in that time. And it looked for the longest time like Leicester were simply going to trounce off with the league title. And as things stand, it still does look that way. But if they lose here, It could be squeaky bum time for the Foxes, couldn't it? As you say, lost to Middlesbrough at the weekend, and suddenly it wouldn't be maybe looking as comfortable as it once was.
I think when you consider that, or when you bring in into the conversation that Leicester are having a wobble, it's mainly because
one game.
It's one defeat, but it was a bruising defeat to Middlesbrough, where tactically they were sort of outdone at times by Michael Carrick, and then they're coming up against a Leeds team at Elland Road. It's going to be so, so difficult. And as you say, 3 points. 3 points against their, losing 3 points against their immediate rival can be such a damaging thing for them. But I think with Leicester, they've built such a cushion now. I don't think they'll let it get to them too much. But as you say, you're looking at a team who are looking like they were going to win the league at a canter, and now because of how relentless Leeds and Southampton have been, they've closed the gap. And yeah, that does make it a little bit nervy for the top side at the moment.
Well, it's interesting that both managers have been playing down the importance of the game. Enzo Maresca has said Leicester's destiny with regards to promotion won't be determined on the night. Daniel Farke believes that even if Leeds win, Leicester are definitely going up anyway. Interesting that they would do that. Maybe it's just mind games. But the matter of the fact is this. Leicester, of course, coming off the back of a loss to Middlesbrough. And because of the relentlessness of the top four, any sort of slip-up is getting mercilessly punished. So back-to-back losses for Leicester is essentially the equivalent of 5 losses in a row for a team outside of the top four, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, they would go, they would still be 6 points ahead of Leeds. We've got to remember that. But they had a 12-point lead this time last week. So if that lead gets halved in the space of a week, it would undoubtedly be worrying for Leicester, particularly because it's not just Leeds breathing down their neck at this point. Ipswich seems to be back on track as well, and it wouldn't take much for Southampton to be on course again either. So Leicester have to look at this as a must-not-lose game. Otherwise, I mean, a draw wouldn't be a bad result by any means. Yeah. A win would be a fantastic result, but a loss, that is a bruising, bruising result from a Leicester City perspective. On the other hand, Justin, if Leicester win, that's pretty much the title race over with, isn't it?
Yeah, I think psychologically it's a big one. Obviously, as I was saying with Leeds, they gained 3 points from an immediate rival. So mathematically, whilst it's still possible to lose a title, it's a psychological aspect that's really going to sway it. And I think if you can go to Elland Road, beat Leeds, who have won 8 games on the trot, conceded 1 goal in that time, go to Elland Road, beat them, your confidence is going to be through the roof. You're going to walk into games and be like, well, we can do anything now. Because no matter who or where you are in the league or who you are, going to Elland Road away on a Friday night under the lights is going to be a difficult game. Everyone's going to be G'd up. Big hard week at work. Coming into the game of this magnitude, everyone at Elland Road is going to want it. Every single person there. So you go away, you get 3 points. Yeah, title's done and dusted.
Well, as we say, with SBK, Leeds are 11-10 to win this one, while Leicester are 5-2. So Leeds heading into it as favourites. Not very often that Leicester are the outsiders for a game, but based off their recent form and the record at home, Leeds will be disappointed if they get anything less than 3 points here, won't they? As I say, not a position that often happens when Leicester are involved, but that's the situation we've got here, isn't it, Justin?
I think that's the key thing. It's mainly down to Leeds' momentum, isn't it? Leeds' momentum that they've gathered over the past few weeks has been relentless, and you take that into every game, and you do forget as well because of how good they are going forward. So how good they are, they've been at the back as well, and I think you've got to really pay a lot of attention and applause to Daniel Farke for being a little bit more direct than probably what he's used to, because that Norwich side wasn't as direct as this Leeds team, and I think that's going to suit Leeds against this Leicester side. So you're quite right, they head into the favourites, and I think they'll be disappointed if they don't come away with anything less than 3 points, because they're going to be well up for it, and it's at Elland Road, and that's a huge, huge factor for them. They've not lost it at all either. They've got an incredible home record this season, so going into that and not coming away with 3 points, yeah, you'd be pretty sad.
Something you failed to mention there as well, Justin. Leeds beat Leicester at the King Power back in November didn't they? And Leeds were just exceptional that day. Leicester just could not handle them. And if we see a repeat of that, it's going to be a long night for Enzo Maresca's lads. So, look, Nonto, Somerville and Rutter have been in brilliant form recently too. And Leicester simply have to get a handle on them. And if they don't, then they could run riot and really take Leicester and put them to the sword. Now it's time for our second tier bet builder with SBK. And with SBK, you can create your own bet builder With a range of markets for any championship game, it's easy, fast and secure on the SBK mobile app, and you'll find substantially better odds there than any other bookmaker. So every Friday, we're making our own bet builder with four selections all relating to our game of the week. So that's two for Justin, two for me. Justin, what are your selections for this mighty, mighty fixture?
Oh, it's a tasty one, isn't it? I'm going for a Leeds win and Crescencio Somerville to score.
Ooh.
Leeds' momentum, I mean, I've said it already, the momentum has really pulled me into this one. That's what I was also saying. The way they play, getting the ball into final third so quick, you come up against a slow possession-based side like Leicester, there are going to be gaps to exploit when Leicester get further up the pitch. And I don't think there's a better team to do it than Leeds. And of course, having Crescencio Somerville, you've got a winger there who scored 15 goals in the league this season, an incredible return for a young player who's having a real big breakout, I think, at Leeds. So yeah, Leeds to win, Crescencio Somerville to score, I'm all over it.
There's a reason why I text you in the WhatsApp group beforehand saying you've got to pick a result for this one, because I honestly cannot call it. I don't know how this one is going to go, but I'm not going to disagree with you, Justin, on a Leeds win. I just don't want to call it. My selections for the bet builder, Yannick Vestergaard to be carded and both teams to score and over 2.5 goals. Now, Vestergaard to be carded in four of Leeds' last five league games. The opposition left-sided centre-back has been given a yellow card. How about that for research, Peachy?
Wow.
And I imagine this is linked to Jorginho Ruta being the second most fouled player in the division. Of course, you know, Somerville and Nonto as well, they get fouled quite a lot too. And Vestergaard could have a bit of trouble keeping a lid on those players, particularly Ruta, and he himself has collected 9 yellow cards this season. So that's why I've gone for the Vestergaard selection. Both teams scoring over 2.5 goals. I mean, Leeds' defensive record has been unbelievable. Just one goal conceded in 8 league games. But that surely can't last forever, particularly against the top scorers in the league. So I think Leicester will get on the score sheet. And based off what this bet builder has just in, we've got Leeds to win. We obviously think it's going to be both teams scoring over 2.5 goals. So that's why I've gone for that. And a £10 bet builder with SBK on those selections returns £180. And with SBK, you can claim a 25% winnings boost on any bet builder for Leeds v Leicester. So that will take us up to £225. Minimum odds are 4-1 over 18s only. T's and T's apply. Please do gamble responsibly. That bet builder once again is Leeds to win, Somerville to score, Vestergaard to be carded, both teams to score and over 2.5 goals. A £10 bet on that returns 225 big ones thanks to SBK's 25% winnings boost. So let's have a look ahead to some of the other games in the Championship this weekend. And in each preview episode of the second tier, Justin and I will each pick a banker, a team we think is guaranteed to win this coming weekend, as well as an outsider. So someone we think is going to win, but is bigger odds with our friends at SBK than their opponent. We're tracking how we do as the season goes on. It's 1.4 the correct banker, 2 points for an outsider. Whoever loses has to do a forfeit, which will be a coach trip from Sunderland to Plymouth and back for Justin Peach, while I'll be doing a vomit-inducing CrossFit workout for myself. However, the current scores are 36-23 to myself. I managed to once again increase my lead even further after my outsider of Birmingham to beat Sunderland came in last weekend. Justin had luck with his banker, but that was it. So time's running out, Justin. Time is certainly running out. Can you make any sort of gains this weekend? What's your banker, big boy?
I've got no confidence in doing that, but why not? Let's go for it. I've got to do it because, we do it every week. My banker is Ipswich to beat Birmingham. Now, my thinking with this one is quite obvious. Ipswich's form over the past four games, has been very, very good. They've turned a corner and they will win at all costs, as we saw against Rotherham. That relentlessness to go despite your setbacks is a very, very hard trait to get instilled into your team, especially at this point in the season when you've had 33 games in your legs. But for me, players are hitting form again. Wes Burns being one of them. He was brilliant against Rotherham. Kiefer Moore is another one who, let's all be honest, I have an unhealthy obsession with. So I'm always going to pick a team with Kiefer Moore in it. And mix that, I think, as well, a little bit of sadness. Mix that with Tony Mowbray not being in the dugout for Birmingham. That's going to have an impact not having your leader present as well. I think Mark Venus is more than capable, long time assistant to Tony Mowbray. But not having your leader there might have an impact on Birmingham as well. So yeah, got me Ipswich to beat Birmingham.
Yeah, it remains to be seen, doesn't it, how much of an impact Mowbray not being there will have an impact. Hopefully it's not anything too serious, because nobody wants to see that, do they? But, I mean, look at you, Justin. You had your big agenda against Ipswich. Now you can't stop picking them as your bankers. Shameless
for
you.
I need points. I need points.
You may need points, but it's quite the turn from you, isn't it? How listen, the turntables.
Listen. I'm not two-faced. I don't stab people in the back like some people on this podcast. I'm not naming names. Might
what,
be you.
What on earth? Where has this slanderous accusation come from?
Basically, I had nothing to come back at you with, so okay. I'm going for your personality. I think that's the best route forward for me, to attack you as a personal person.
Still a massively slanderous accusation which has no backing whatsoever.
It doesn't until I find it. I have to find the evidence. It's point the finger first, then go for the evidence, and that's exactly what I'm doing.
I'm sure that works in all court cases. My banker for this weekend is Sunderland to beat Swansea. It's the beginning of a new era at Sunderland, the beginning of the post-banter era. I mean, they sat Tony Mowbray, got in Mick Beale, put in Newcastle banners at the Stadium of Light, lost in the time weird derby, had the manager ignore a player for a handshake, their manager had a burner account to tweet himself praise, and now he's been sacked. This all happened in the space of 2 months. It very much was, you know, the old Sunderland creeping back into the swing of things here. So I'm calling it. It's over now. That's done. They've knocked the banter era and its mini return on the head. It's time to focus on getting in the top six again now. And that's why I've got my fingers crossed that Sunderland have certainly turned that corner here. And a great way to signal the start of that is by beating Swansea, a Swansea side who are in a bit of a state, by the way. They've lost 6 of their last 7 and they've been pretty poor recently. The new manager, Luke Williams, has not had a good start at all. They look particularly fragile at the back, something which was a problem for Williams when he was at Notts County and seems to have carried over to Swansea. Now, I will admit, when I made this pick, that was before I saw that Jack Clark was injured, which isn't ideal, you know, them losing their best player. And I know it's Mike Dodds' first game in charge as the interim manager as well. But look, whoever the manager is of Sunderland, they should be looking at this game as one they have to be winning, because Swansea are in pitiful form. And whether they've got the best player or not, Sunderland this is, they should be looking to win this game. That's why I'm going for Sunderland as my banker for this weekend. Admittedly, would be a lot more confident if Jack Clark was fit, but I'm still backing the Black Cats nonetheless.
You're very confident that this banter era is over. Very, very confident. I don't know. I don't think you can really expect anything with Sunderland, because they were on a good upward trajectory and then they shot themselves in the foot in sacking Tony Mowbray. And that's when the banter era really did resume once again. Because I say, they left that behind. They left that behind for a good 18 months. I mean, post Alex Neil going into the Tony Mowbray sacking, it was a quiet, normal few months for a football club. It was nice. And then they hit the banter era once again. As I say, I don't think I can really lift the foot off the gas as to whether or not that's going to be over or not. And I think coming up against this Swansea side, who have been poor under Luke Williams, I think it's very banter eerie to lose this game.
You are right. If the banter era is still lingering, it would be very Sunderland for them to lose this game. But I like to think that corner has been turned now, mainly because the face of the banter era in Mick Beale is now out of the door. Even if he's got a burner account where he doesn't show his face, I like to think that face has now taken the banter era with it. So that's what I'm holding on to with hope here, Justin. And as I say, if Sunderland are serious about getting in the top six, then they should be winning this game. Admittedly, Jack Clark not being there is such a huge blow. But look, Mike Dodds did great when he was in caretaker charge before, didn't he? So,
yeah,
you know, it's still a very talented squad at Sunderland, despite Clark not being there.
I was going to say, if Sunderland was serious about getting into the top six, they wouldn't have sacked Tony Mowbray and hired Mick Beale.
I mean, you're right about the second part. The first part, I mean, if they got in Will Still, then
Yeah.
That's obviously being serious.
But you bring in a manager who's going to be better than the last one, and they didn't. And that's what I'm getting at. The amazing would have
been
just
saying that's
a
lot in the last week, Justin. So we don't need to repeat ourselves here. So there are mine and Justin's two bankers for the weekend. And every week we combine these two selections with a bet on the full-time results of our game of the weekend to create our very own second tier featured multiple with SBK. So this week we're going for Leeds, Ipswich and Sunderland all to win. A £10 bet on that returns £55. And with SBK, you can create your own multiple with three or more bets on the full-time result of any game from across the Championship. T's and C's apply, over 18s only. And please do gamble responsibly. That again is Leeds, Ipswich and Sunderland all to win. A £10 bet on that returns £55 with SBK. Justin, let's take a quick break. After that, we'll go through our outsiders for the weekend and finish off with a little game of Scott High or Ryan Lowe.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome back to the Second Tier Podcast. This is, of course, the preview show brought to you by SBK. That means we're doing our predictions, and it's now time for us to go through our outsiders for the weekend in the Championship. Justin, what is your outsider for this weekend?
I need points, and hopefully this one can give it to me. I've gone with Huddersfield to win away at Watford. I'm looking forward to seeing what Brighton Wrighter can do. Between the last few games, caretaker Bostrom Wimbledon has done an excellent job in establishing a style of play that exceeds bravery with the ball and pressing. I think that's going to be a big thing. I'm going to point out to listeners that I have spelt Brighton Wrighter's name literally as Brighton Writer. That is the best way to remember it. I push this on everyone to do it. So there's a bit of a tidbit for how the approach goes for me.
But like Brighton is in the place.
Yes, Brighton, the town, the city.
This is what I have to work with people.
I am a professional. Leave me alone. Watford, on the other hand, they're a bit hit and miss with performances, but are capable of picking up a result. Weren't particularly convincing against Rotherham last week, but I think Huddersfield, under a new coach, based on the principles that have been instilled by John Wimbledon, the caretaker, I think that's going to be a really big thing going into this game. And as I say, Watford, struggling to get consistency in performances, might hand it to Huddersfield.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see how Brighton Wrighter does, because as we were alluding to when he was appointed, it seems like it's quite surprising that he's opted to join a relegation-threatened Championship side when this is a guy who was a pretty much regular fixture in the Bundesliga a matter of months ago. So I'm very keen to see how he does. It seems quite exciting, and this game will give us a good indicator of how he wants Huddersfield to play and what kind of success there will be in the long term. I was surprised, though, that you went for this, Justin, because just at the weekend you were saying you thought Watford were the third most likely side to get into the playoffs. So curious that you've gone for them to lose at home to a relegation-threatened side.
Yeah, curious, but I need points, right? And this was the best one I could come up with this weekend, all right? That's all I'm going for. This isn't a bias. I still think Watford have a good chance of getting to the top six, which is against a lot of Watford fans are saying, by the way. But I do believe in Valerian Ismail and the squad. But it's not about knockbacks on the way. They're still going to come up against teams and going to drop points. I think Huddersfield are in a good spot at the moment, especially performance-wise. I think that's the key thing that they need to build upon is improve the performances and the results will come, and we're seeing that, and I think results will come, and I think it's a good time to play against Watford, who haven't been particularly fantastic of late.
just to give you a bit more encouragement with this pick, Watford haven't won at home in the league since November. So it's a great chance for Brighton Ryder to get a huge scalp in his first game in charge of the Terriers. One of the teams Huddersfield will be looking to overtake this weekend is Stoke. The big news coming out of there is that they've sacked technical director Ricky Martin, not that one. He joined in November 2022 and has had fingers pointed at him for the club's transfer business, as well as the appointment of Stephen Schumacher, which obviously hasn't gone very well so far. But look, Justin, something has to change behind the scenes at Stoke, doesn't it? It's no surprise to see heads rolling, particularly with Martin.
Yeah, you say not that one, alluding to the pop star Ricky Martin, but it may as well have been. It may as well have been, because this guy was living a vida loca with his signings, wasn't he? He's overseen 24...
Justin. I knew at some point you were going to drop in some sort of living la vida loca pun in
absolutely.
There. But you missed a great chance to say that he'll be livid he's leaving Stoker.
I'm not that creative, especially it's one of the days that maybe you might be ahead of me. But going back to old Ricky, overseas 24 signings, which is a mad scramble, as opposed to rather than the careful, considered approach that maybe Stoke needed after gutting the club of its high earning dross that they accumulated over the years. But it's hardly a surprise once again that the club have moved someone on who that is a manager and a technical director, rather than pointing the fingers at themselves, because the club is directionless. Yes, Ricky Martin was bad at his job. Yes, Alex Neil didn't do a good job, but it comes further up the table. The hierarchy. The hierarchy needs to look at themselves, can't slap themselves, but that's where they need to address things.
Yeah, well, you're 100% right, Justin. You can go through all the managers that Stoke have done over the past God knows how long now, and when there hasn't been any serious change in direction, you've got to look elsewhere, and that's why you've got to look at the hierarchy. To be fair, Martin has only been there for a year and a half, but in that time he clearly hasn't done enough to turn things around. And I mean, the transfer business over the time that he's been there has been pretty farcical. I mean, how many players did they bring in the summer? How many did you just say?
It's 24 under Ricky Martin, so that's 24 in 18 months that he's brought in.
24 that he's brought in that time. And, I mean, how many of them have been successes? Not many. I mean, the summer that's just gone has just been pretty farcical, hasn't it? And, I mean, how many forwards did they sign as well? They seem to sign an infinite number of strikers, and they're one of the lowest scorers in the division, which, I mean, says a lot, doesn't it, really? But, yeah, it's Stoke need to try and bring in some new way of thinking, someone who actually has a plan in the long term, and Stoke just haven't seemed to have that, particularly under Martin. So I'm not surprised to see him go. John Walters has become the interim technical director. I mean, I always like seeing former players coming back into senior roles. I don't know how he'll do as a technical director, but, you know, best of luck to you, Johnny Walters. Let's move on to my outsider pick, Justin. I have gone with West Brom to beat Hull in the early game on Saturday. Now, undeniably, Hull have been in cracking form recently. 5 wins from 6, most recently against Southampton in midweek, of course, in what was a really impressive showing by the Tigers. They are a really good side, and I think they'll run the race for the playoffs right down to the wire. However, I'm siding with West Brom here because I believe West Brom will provide a stern test for the Tigers. They're just so well organised under Carlos Corban and will be looking to frustrate Hull as much as possible. And he's a mastermind at grinding out results in games like this. And Hull could have a difficult time in breaking them down. Ultimately, there wasn't too many attractive selections for outsiders in this weekend's round of championship fixtures. But if you have a chance to back West Brom against a team lower than them in the table, you're going to take it. So I fancy a victory for the Albion this weekend. I'm very happy to have them on side as an outsider, Justin.
Yeah, it's a very smart choice. You're playing the game. You're playing the game, Ryan. That's why you're so far ahead of me. I'll happily admit that, but there's still time to cock up. But you are absolutely right. I think the way Hull play might suit West Brom, actually. You know, it's quite a slow possession-based side of football. You go back to the last two away games that West Brom have played. They win away at Plymouth, which is probably one of the hardest away days in the division because of the amount of distance you've got to drive to get down there. Obviously, teams will stay in a hotel, but nonetheless, it's a long time sat on your backside, isn't it? And not training. And then you go to the Ipswich game as well, where they drew 2-2. Could have seen that out. Were unlucky to be pegged back late in the game. But it was still a good performance. And that's what gives you a lot of a lot of excitement and going into the final stage of the season, because West Brom are starting to improve away from home, because they haven't been great. And I think that's the only thing that might sway me towards Hull, is their away form isn't great, West Brom, but the last two games probably convince you that they might get a result here.
Yeah, I was also slightly concerned about the away form, but I mean, that showing against Plymouth in midweek was really quite impressive. They should have won it by more, really. And Plymouth are by no means a poor side, are they? At home in particular, they are really, really difficult to face. So for West Brom to beat them so comfortably and maybe should have won it by more, then that just gives me encouragement that they can do a job against Hull. Speaking of the Tigers, have you seen their owner, Ajun Ilejali, may have just won the award for coolest football owner in the Championship because he's been playing foot volleyball in the Dominican Republic with none other than Ronaldinho. It was broadcast live on TV in his home country of Turkey, and he's apparently making a reality show with old Ronaldinho. Quite a lot to take in there, but you know what? I'm here for it, Justin.
Yeah, can we not get this streamed on Hull's iFollow? Because I'll definitely subscribe to this. I will definitely watch this. With subtitles, obviously. I want to see this unfold. What is the reality TV show about? What is going on? I need to know more. And I need to be televised for me.
I mean, any reality TV show that's all involving Ronaldinho, I'm immediately interested, because boy, oh boy, does that guy live a life. And while we're on the theme of Championship news, Justin, Sheffield Wednesday have a former German international training with them. Have you seen this? Left-back Nico Schulz has 12 caps to his name for the senior side, playing as recently for them as 2020, and moved to Borussia Dortmund for £22 million in 2019, but has been a free agent after having his contract terminated by Dortmund in the summer of last year. How about that, eh? It's always funny with these ones, isn't it? Because so when a player was playing at the heights that he was, seemingly, admittedly, I wasn't watching him week in, week out, but when he was, you know, playing at such a high level just a matter of 4 years ago, I mean, I think he was playing for Dortmund, actually, not the season, last season, the season before that. He was playing relatively regularly. Seems a bit mad, really, that he's coming down to Sheffield Wednesday's level. With no disrespect, of course, but you're talking about a relegation threatened Championship side.
Yeah, a team 23rd in the Championship's quite a drop off to what he's probably used to. Then again, if he's had as many injuries as he's had, you're going to try and find football wherever you can. So it's not really a surprise to see him drop down training at the very least, because obviously I think he clearly has some relationship or affiliation with Danny Rowland and the coaching staff there at Wednesday anyway. So yeah, it could be a coup, but then again, he's not played a lot of football recently, and I think that might work against him. He's got to get fit very quickly.
He could potentially go from playing with Jude Bellingham to Jeff Hendrick in the space of a couple of years. What a turnaround.
Similar players.
And one final thing to mention before we play Scott High or Ryan Lowe, Justin, is the son of a Championship legend made his Premier League debut the other night. I mean, this made me feel extremely old when I saw it, but Jadon Dans is the son of former Crystal Palace, Leicester and Bolton midfielder Neil Dans. He came on as a substitute for Liverpool against Luton the other night. This is Jaden, not Neil. But I mean, I used to love Neil Dans. He was an iconic Coca-Cola Championship player, wasn't he?
Yeah, he really was. He's a player that he's a trivia question if you're talking about Championship football. He really is. He's one of those that's played for a lot of clubs and done very well at a lot of clubs as well. And I don't think he's still playing now, but I wouldn't be surprised, because the man's fit as anything.
He's assistant manager at Tranmere, last time I checked.
Yeah. But he was playing quite recently in non-league. Just an incredible athlete, and for him to go that for as long as he was great. And you know, to see Jadon Dans come on is a little bit of a dagger to the heart because of the age thing. I mean, seeing Rob Edwards say himself, "I played against his dad," to Jurgen Klopp, and I was like,
I love that. I really enjoyed that.
I was gasping for air. Terrifying.
Yeah, that was a bit of content from X, which I thoroughly enjoy. Doesn't happen very often nowadays on X, but that was something that put a wry smile on my face. But yeah, how about that? Neil Dans's son is now playing Premier League football. What a turn of events. Anyway, it's now time for this.
Scott High or Ryan Lowe?
You're fucking shit, mate.
Yes, it's now time for Scott High or Ryan Lowe, and this is the game where we have to rank four things from highest to lowest. It's as simple as that. There's three questions, and this week, Justin is providing the questions to me. So what have you got for me, Justin Peach, you bastard?
I've got some good ones. So the first one is, I want you to tell me or rank in order which current championship club has made the most managerial changes since it was rebranded. You've got Watford, Birmingham, Cardiff, and Queen's Park Rangers. QPR.
You mean just in the championship or since 2004?
It didn't specify, so let's just say since 2004, since it was rebranded.
Fine. Well, I mean, Watford have to be top, don't they? Surely. I mean, I'd be stunned if they're not. Who are the others? QPR, Birmingham.
And Cardiff.
Cardiff. I think Cardiff have had a fair few in there recently. But I think they had quite a few managers who stuck around for a bit in the late 2000s, early 2010s. So I'll put them bottom and then I'll go Birmingham second, QPR third, although I'm questioning that now that I say it out loud.
So yeah, that was...
I'll go with that.
Yeah, okay, so that was a bit of a disaster. You got Cardiff, right? Fine. You're absolutely spot on. They are the least, they've made the most, the least changes, sorry, with 11 out of those teams. 11 changes. Then it's Birmingham with 12. Then it's Watford with 14, which makes me think it was Championship.
Oh.
And it's QPR with 16.
Yes, but you didn't specify that when I was answering the question.
I apologise. I've brought the game into disrepute.
You actually have. And I'm not even joking when I say that. What's the next question?
Neil Harris returned to the dugout at Millwall this week, obviously, again, his third club this season. So I want you to rank where his best spell came based on his win percentage. So obviously you've got Millwall, you've got Cambridge, Gillingham and Cardiff.
He was at Cambridge for like 2 months.
So it's based on his win percentage, just to give you an idea.
I will be honest, I haven't been keeping track of how he was doing at Cambridge in the 2 months that he was there.
It's bad research.
I mean, I'm a championship podcaster, so that's the first point we're there. I mean, he was doing quite well at Gillingham before it all went a bit to shit. Although last season, actually, it was all going a bit shit to shit as well, wasn't it? So I think I'll put Gillingham bottom, then Millwall, then Cambridge, I guess, because I simply don't really have a clue how he was doing it that very short time at Cambridge. And then I put Cardiff top.
Okay. I don't know why you put Millwall so low, but you've got... So you went with Gillingham bottom.
Gillingham bottom, Millwall third bottom,
then Cambridge,
then Cardiff.
Okay, that was a disaster. Once again, you got Gillingham, right? Their bottom. 90 games in charge, 34% win percentage. Then Cambridge, 35% win percentage of 14 games in charge. Then Cardiff, 62 games in charge, 38% win percentage. Got them into the playoffs. Got to remember that. Sign of things to come for Millwall. The Millwall playoff charge is on as of now. And yeah, his best spell came at Millwall with 41% win percentage, 245 games in charge.
So it wasn't really a disaster. I just massively underestimated Millwall. But my thinking there was, I thought he was in a couple of relegation battles, although I forgot he got them promoted, I think, didn't he?
Yeah, did he get them promoted? He did.
Yeah.
He did, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I forgot there. So, you know, wasn't a complete disaster, but yeah, just underestimated them, really. Anyway, what's the last one, Justin?
So you are a massive virgin. We all
Thanks.
Know this. So I want
just end
you
the
to...
podcast there, shall we?
That's it. I want you to rank the biggest virgin in Ryan's room right now. So I want you to tell me what the highest grossing Marvel films are. I will be disappointed if you don't get these right. So the films you've got on the table are Guardians of the Galaxy, Black Panther, Captain Marvel, and Spider-Man No Way Home.
Is it the first Guardians of the Galaxy?
It is the first Guardians of the Galaxy. It's also the first Black Panther.
Okay. I'll put Spider-Man top.
Okay.
No Way Home is the most recent one, isn't it? Yeah. Spider-Man top. Spider-Man top, definitely. Black Panther second. Then Guardians of the Galaxy. And then Captain Marvel, I think.
I'm going to go
in that order.
Are you going to lock in those answers?
I'm certain on the first two. It's just whether Captain Marvel, even though it's not anywhere close to Guardians of the Galaxy in terms of what is the better film, but I fear it may have done slightly better at the box office than Guardians of the Galaxy. But I'll go with that.
So you're going with Captain Marvel bottom, Guardians
yes,
of the Galaxy.
Yes, for God's sake.
Well, you were wrong, Ryan. You should have gone with your logic. You should have gone with your logic.
Really?
Call yourself a Marvel fan. Spider-Man No Way Home is top. $800 million. Grossed over $800 million. Then it was Black Panther. Big drop off to $700 million. Then it was Captain Marvel, $420 million. And Guardians of the Galaxy, last, $333 million. Obviously, Guardians of the Galaxy was the first one that came out in 2014, so maybe there wouldn't have been an appetite. Whereas by the time Captain Marvel came out, the Marvel train was steaming along.
Yeah, you're right. You're really right. And it was also between Infinity War and Endgame as well. Yeah. So it's just because I thought Guardians of the Galaxy was such a good film that it must have, it may have been better than Captain Marvel, but it obviously
wasn't. Well, it wasn't. It wasn't, was it? It wasn't.
It was a better film though, wasn't it?
Was it? I don't know. I don't watch them. I have a life.
No, you do watch them, though. You watch Star Wars, which is even worse. Anyway, that's been Scott High, Ryan Lowe. This has been the Second Tier Podcast. Justin Peach has nothing to say on that. In fact, for the listeners at home, he's nodding away. So this has been the Second Tier Podcast, and it's been the preview show brought to you by SBK. So look forward to the weekend. Hope everyone has a cracking weekend, and we look forward to speaking to you again on Sunday for a roundup of all the championship games coming up this weekend. And we bloody look forward to seeing you then. This has been the Second Tier Podcast. I've been Ryan Dilks.
I'll be Justin Peach.
And a big thank you for listening.
Second Tier is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.